Greetings. Greetings to each one. I wonder how all our dear young people are doing this morning. Everyone excited and encouraged and had a really long, long good night of rest. That would be a blessing. Again, greetings. What a tremendous joy to be with you. I'm wondering how many of you spent even 5 minutes considering... I shouldn't say that. That sounds bad. Hopefully some you spent some time, and you probably didn't have time to. But I do want to make sure that as you do this going forward, think about who you are, where you belong, and why you're here. I would really... These messages yesterday, as Joshua's call... It was designed to start laying the groundwork for what we want to share on Friday on all three of these subjects. On Friday, we hope to share on all three of these. We did have a word of prayer, right? I think Melvin prayed. So I think we will just start in here. Joshua knew this. He was not wavering. He knew 100%, he was convinced who he was, where he belonged, and why he was here. And we don't find him trying to change that. And I want that, that would be a tremendous anchor in your life. If you find who you are, and the rest of your life, you add to that and you don't try to change it. That's my heart that you leave here with that. Now, I would like to spend a little bit of time in review. Yesterday we talked quite a bit about just giving our lives to the Lord. God will never ruin our lives. He will never ruin our lives. We talked about Joshua, and he was one of God's greatest warriors. We are asked to see that we follow God. And we're asked to let the results to God. We get hung up on what might happen, and we don't follow. But God has promised to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could think or ask. So my encouragement was, forget about the results. Forget about what may happen. That's all in God's hands. We're called to follow. We're called to follow immediately. We're called to follow now. And we're called to always follow. And we're called to follow Him with a single eye. And follow Him wholly, singly. Be cheerfully devoted to this work of following. Some of what we discussed yesterday. Christ is asking for your life. He doesn't just come and say, Dion, I have this I want you to go do. So Dion does that. And then Dion comes back and does whatever Dion wants to do. So many times we look at God that way. And that's not what God is asking. He's not giving you just a job. He's asking for your life. And we didn't talk about this a lot, but something happened. We talked about being transformed. Either the world is different, or else I'm changed. One or the other should be happening in our lives. And the world is changing, but not for the better. So hopefully it's us that is different and has changed. We talked about Joshua's patience for just a little bit. He had to wait 40 years to be able to go into the promised land, and he was ready to go when he came back as a spy. He was ready to go take the land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a fertile land. It was a land that he wanted, and he patiently waited 40 years before he was able to go back. And we said a handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains, as an old Dutch proverb. And the biggest one, the last one here that I would like to convince you is when man fell in the garden, I think the tactic that got to Eve was the lie that God is holding out. There's more to be had if you disobey God. Take matters into your own hand and you'll be way better off. And so deep in our nature, we have this unspoken fear of God mistreating us, or God ruining our lives, or God not taking care of us. Or we have this fear that if we give our life to God, we're wasting it. That is in our human nature. That's not part of our faith. Or I'm not sure how to say that right. I didn't maybe say that right. But just so you remember, as we read that parable of the vineyard and God's the householder, God will treat you right. You will never suffer lack. God will do more than what is right for you. He will never cheat you. He will never cheat you, or He will never say, this is the fear that I will go out and I will give my life and I'll suffer and I'll be left with nothing. That's the fear that each one of us face. And I want to encourage you that God will never do that to you. He will never do that to you. I have a desire just to open it up for you all this morning. And it doesn't have to be about yesterday or anything that was said. It can be. If any of you have any thoughts, any questions, I just enjoy the interaction. If any of you have maybe something God did in your life, and that would be a blessing. Anyone have anything that they would like to share this morning? Any questions, comments? Don't be bashful. It's not being proud to share something. Well, I'm just so you know, if I don't forget, I'm hoping to give you that opportunity the next couple mornings as well. And you can maybe be thinking about, as we go into these thoughts on courage, that if the Lord leads, I wouldn't mind having given you the opportunity to share some of the things that you've experienced in with courage. And courage is a subject today that I don't want to take out of context. It's not something that it's part of our faith. It seems like when God asks us to do something, and it's beyond our ability, He also grants the courage to do it. And so I don't want to wrongly emphasize courage, but my dear young people, as I considered some of the things, there's a chance that you all will face things that there's not too many that other generations have never faced. And it's going to take courage to stand and be faithful. And if you are not standing now, if you are already compromising, I fear what will happen to our dear young people here. If you are already struggling with being faithful and being having conservative values and having godliness, and if you're already struggling there, well, what's coming, my dear young people? It's going to take a lot of courage to stand. And so I couldn't help feel pressed from the Lord. Consider this today, and we see it in the life of Joshua. So we shall, as I did want to share, courage is it's part of faith. It's really faith, and it's part of obedience and trust. And it's hard in a lot of ways to put it all in right words. Sometimes I tend to be one that has things in my heart that I don't always, not always able to word the way I would like. But the first point here this morning is Joshua was a man of unifying courage. And I was thinking too, is there someone new here today that doesn't have a book? There's more books in the back. Is there a student that wasn't here yesterday? Or maybe there's, so there's more books in the back if you don't have a book. Very good. So, Joshua was a man of unifying courage. And I would just like to share that somehow when you find courage, it attracts. And it brings people together. I want you to think for a moment what the in my mind, the children of Israel were kind of a sorry lot. They left Egypt. They were influenced. They probably left with things on their bodies, and they probably left with being influenced with the idols in Egypt and the false gods that Egypt had. And they left there, and they were influenced greatly by Egypt. And they weren't gone long. They were begging to go back, and all of these things. But I have to wonder what the wilderness looked like. And they spent 40 years. I don't know what was there, and the Bible doesn't say. But I have to also wonder what would have happened if Joshua wouldn't have had the courage to do what he did. It seems to me like that they would have been there a lot. So I want you to see what the courage of one man. They rallied around one man. I don't see the multitude having all the courage. I think they had enough faith to follow Joshua. But I want you to see the effect of Joshua's courage as you think of this. It brings us together. It unifies us. It attracts. It draws. Joshua fixed his eyes on the promises of God rather than fearing the obstacles of the enemy. And that is what we need to do. We need to fix our eyes of faith on the unseen God and not fear anything else, not fear the obstacles. But faith is unifying, and courage can be contagious, you might say. Somehow when you see courage, you're drawn to it. Does that make sense? And that's encouraging. And so, as I'm saying that, some of my burden is that God does that amongst you all, amongst us all. As we continue to make our way through this life, and as things keep going the way they are, I just pray that we can draw courage from one another, from God and one another, that we can encourage one another. You know, individualism has been used by the enemy to divide. In many ways, it divides and keeps believers apart. And I think that God's heart is that we continue to unify and draw together. Here's a little account of a unifying courage that I thought would put it in a practical way. And this is for you all. We're very impressionable people. And in this story, there was a man trying to do something brave, and he was told, don't, come down. And then when he was partway down, he was told, no, go up and finish it. And that's the influence that we can have on one another. And I want you to take a lesson from this story. And I want you to take this and realize how deeply we can impact each other by encouraging each other and by encouraging one another. A fireman was trying to reach from the top of a ladder a poor woman who was imploring help at the window of a burning house. One among the crowd below cried, "You can't do it! Come down!" He was already somewhat burned and almost choked by the smoke. He began to descend the ladder, and he was leaving the woman to her fate. When a man shouted and gave him a cheer, "Go up and help! Go up and help!" And the vast crowd made an air ring with their encouragement, and they all said, they cheered him on to go up and help, whereupon the fireman stopped. He again went up the ladder towards the woman, and aided by the cheering multitude, brought the woman safely to the ground. And so as you think of that story, I want you to think of each other and the influence we have on one another on this whole subject of courage. We can encourage one another, or we can discourage one another. It only takes one person that is, we can't do it. Look at the 11 spies. I had to think of, or the 10 spies, the 12 spies, and 10 of them came back. And the 10 convinced 2.5 million other people that can't be done. There's giants. There's fortresses. They're dug in. There's all these reasons we can't do it. And 10 men convinced 2.5 million, and they all died in the wilderness. So it is important that we all take responsibility to have courage with our faith, because we do influence others when we don't. As Paul says to the Thessalonians, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Our words should comfort one another. And then also in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. So courage is a willingness to risk life, limb, for the sake of something greater. And normally it's truth. In other words, courage reveals what we care about. It really does. So when God says, here comes a man that is full of tattoos, he could be half drunk, you couldn't really trust what he might do, and God says, talk to him about Jesus Christ. It takes courage to go up to someone like that and say, and start talking to him about Jesus Christ. But that reveals what we value. When we know what we should do, courage reveals whether we value it or whether we don't. It reveals that which inspires us to overcome ourselves. Courage helps us to go beyond ourselves and to do what is right. Courage in the life of Jesus Christ. We could spend, and it would be very profitable to look at the life of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22, and we'll start in at verse 40, and we'll just read some passages here. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Here we see Christ struggling with what he knew was before him. He was going to be made out to be someone he completely wasn't. He was going to be persecuted. He was going to be forsaken by everyone that knew him. And he was going to give his life innocently. And even our God, that was something that we see him here. And I'm not sure, I don't want to say wrong words, but he was in a human body. And these things were a challenge to him. It was a challenge for him to go through these things. But we see the courage that he had as we go on and we read how he went out and he stood in front of the army. He boldly stood in front of them and said, here I am, take me. That's amazing. And may God help us with that kind of courage. I had to think of a lion. We see this in the life of Christ as well. And a lion is a, you might say, an emblem of courage. It seems like they tackle things that are bigger than they are many times. But the Bible says that Jesus is a lion in that way. Judah is a lion's whelp. Genesis 49:9. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him? This is in Genesis 49:9. I think this maybe is even where Jacob is giving his blessings to his sons. Revelations 5:5. If you have your Bibles, also it says, "And one of the elders saith unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." There's much about the life of Christ, and there's many accounts in his life where he stood and faced the people that he knew hated him, the people that came and tried to find him in fault. They come and ask him if he should pay taxes to Caesar, and he the courage. I think we can draw lessons in strength as we study the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that. There's much that we can learn from his life. He is the essence of courage. He's the one that gives us our courage. Our courage is found in him. He is our boldness and our strength and our courage and our faith. Here's a story to go with that. It pales in comparison to the story of Christ, but I want to use it as a lesson as to how Christ helps us. The story of a child who had to walk each evening past a dark, spooky house. Some adults sought to give the child courage. One handed him a good luck charm to ward off the ghosts. Another had a light put on the dreaded corner. Still another said earnestly, "It is sinful to be afraid. Trust God and be brave." The advice was good, but he offered nothing more. Then someone said with compassion, I know what it is to be afraid. I will walk with you past the house." That is what Christ does for us. He walks with us. And when we have Christ, we have no reason to not have courage. When we have Christ, we should have courage. As Joshua was told, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." It is interesting to me. I'm not sure what all Joshua was seeing, and I'm reading into it. But in the first part of Joshua, we read it yesterday. We should probably just go there and read it again. But in the first part, three times, real close to each other, God tells Joshua, "Be strong, be of good courage." And he repeats it three times. And it makes me wonder if Joshua wasn't lacking in courage. He must have been, or whether he wasn't lacking in faith. And that's the other thing. God says, "Be of good courage." He doesn't say, it's a lot of us a choice. It's up to us when the challenge is there. It's up to us whether we're going to go forward and face the challenge. Be of good courage. He doesn't say, a lot of it is up to us. Even some of the bravest men, take note of this, although fully prepared beforehand, either stand still or hesitate when the time comes for things to be done. When the time comes to engage the big thing, even some of the bravest men, although they're fully prepared beforehand, either stand still or hesitate. Give us courage, Lord. May we prepare our hearts. So the next thing in the number three here is understanding courage. And I'm not sure what made me put this in my notes, because I'm not sure if it's possible to understand courage. But we will try here. Courage is something that everyone wants. An attribute of a good character that makes us worthy of respect. I think we all want this. But it's by practice and exercise that it grows in our life, that we grow in courage. Understanding courage. It makes us worthy of respect. The definition of courage here. There's so many definitions that it's hard to even define in a lot of ways. But it is when self is sacrificed for a greater good. When God says, I'm not sure if we could give an example. He says, when God tells us to do something and we know if we do it, we will cause trouble or we'll face persecution for it. It takes courage to do it. Courage is not foolhardy boldness. In other words, we see this can happen too. We just think, well, we see this, someone just go do something without even thinking about it. And that can be foolishness and not courage. I guess we should give that some thought. Courage is not the absence of fear or doubt, but the fortitude to act on truth no matter what the odds are. The fortitude to act on truth no matter what. The faithful man is not he who never feels afraid or never fears or never takes accurate consideration of what he is facing, but him that with courage goes on and does what is true and right. Okay, Joshua's courage. As we said yesterday, Joshua, when he was about your age, he was instructed to choose out men and to go and fight a hardened, probably well-trained and well-equipped army. Amalek here in the book of Exodus. I think we'll just read this again. Exodus 17, verse 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. That was quite a feat. I feel like it was, because I'm picturing God's people not being all that well equipped here, and so it was faith in God again that gave him this victory. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We also see I think we'll get into some of this later, but God performed several miracles through Joshua. One was just in crossing the Jordan. I'm not sure if I have this in today's message or tomorrow's, but as it comes to my mind here, the Jordan flowed really swiftly. And I think I have it later today, and there's scripture with it. I think we'll keep going here. But Joshua was a man of courage, as you've been hearing. I think we'll keep going. Maybe we'll come back to some of that. Principles to grow in courage. Courage comes from knowledge and relationships. Joshua knew God and knew he was directing him to do specific things. He wasn't blindly going about his own agenda and then expecting God to fight for him. That's something we can do. We can't just go do whatever we want and expect God to. He was waiting for God's direction and then specifically following and doing what God asked him to do. That's important. That's an important principle as we think of growing in courage. Our experience in using courage is important. Joshua had seen God's leading and promises for many years. He knew that God could be trusted. He knew that God would continue to lead even if Joshua felt inadequate and fearful. Joshua knew that God's plan and what God asked was the best for him to do. Marching around the city 7 days didn't make any sense to Joshua or anyone. But he knew that following God's direction would result in the best outcome. And so it took courage for Joshua to put his faith in. Here was this big fortified city. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. And it had thick walls. And God says, walk around it for 7 days. And that's exactly what Joshua did. So what we're saying here is to not be obedient to God and to expect to have courage is going to, you're going to get hurt that way. Don't expect courage when we're not being faithful and obedient to God. Courage comes through practicing it and also being reminded to be courageous. There are nine times in the book of Joshua where God reminds Joshua to be strong or to be courageous. As we've talked some about the pressure that comes from standing firm. Moving ahead with courage here, number 5. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Courage to live righteously. You know, I remember as a young boy, many times I took my mom to town on the buggy, and we were made fun of a lot. People would openly sneer, and I was always sensitive of this. That it always bothered me. People would people would just sneer and laugh and make fun of us because we were Amish, and. But it didn't make me want to leave the Amish just because I was made fun of. And I want to encourage you in the same. If you find your identity in Christ, you will be different than the world. And it takes courage to have to be different than everyone else and not allow those pressures to put pressure on you. Courage to live righteously. Courage for your future. Courage to embrace authority. You know, authority can be misused. Authority is not always easy. Courage to suffer. We need courage in our relationships. Courage in making decisions. What if we're wrong? Courage to say no. When things are wrong, courage to embrace the cross. Courage to speak the truth in love. All of these things are things that we need. May God help us. Things that we could spend quite some time considering. God told Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Amazing words. And there's words in the New Testament that we probably should have went to. But I think we'll keep going here. Examples of courage. I had to think of Joshua when he was a spy. he went over among these giants and these people, and he was over there, and he was there wasn't very many people around. And he could have easily been ambushed and attacked and killed and whatnot, all, but it took courage to go over there. And then his report coming back, as we've talked about some of this, I think we'll just keep going here. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 3. I think we'll just read this chapter here. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The power of a sanctified life. We heard about that yesterday. Sanctify yourselves. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it shall come to pass, when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far, it says very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, filled and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jordan. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Yeah, that's an amazing, that took courage to do that. The Jordan River was so swift that you couldn't swim in it. So if they didn't have faith in the Lord and courage, and they were standing out in the middle, and this water started again, it would have killed many of them. But it wasn't all that. It wasn't near as wide or deep as the Red Sea, but it was swift. They had to trust God and His Word. And from what little I could find, these two cities were about 12 miles apart. And it talks about the waters just being heaped up on top of each other. And I don't know how this was all done. It would be interesting to look at this more. But standing in the middle of that took courage, right? Crossing in that way took courage, trust, and it's God has that for us. We have David. We can think of David as he faced Goliath. That'd be an interesting story. We could spend a lot of time considering him as he went out and picked up five smooth stones out of a brook. And he went out and he faced this enemy that had this big shield, this big spear, and this armor. And David took this one stone. And it was led of God. But David was a man of courage. Esther, it took a lot of courage for Esther to do what she did when her people were handed over to be killed. She went to the king. Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, took courage for him to open that window and pray to God anyway. So maybe can we all stand for a little bit? And would there be a song that would be fitting? Who's leading the singing? Ivan, would there be a song we could sing that would be fitting? Here, for some reason, I feel like we should just sing a song here. Somebody have a song? Do we have a folder with that in it? Okay. .446 in the hymnal. Okay. Yeah, let's sing. Let's sing that song.
you. That was beautiful. Please have a seat.
Makes me want to just sing that song again. Okay. Well, courage. I don't want you to. Yeah, I'm realizing that maybe I'm coming across like y'all don't have courage. It's just something we want to consider today and allow God to teach me. It's been a blessing to my own life. But conviction. I think the word conviction comes to my mind as I think of courage. And may we just continue to build conviction. I think courage will help us do that. Also, integrity. The difference between right and wrong. I think this goes along with when we stand up, we back our words with action. When we have integrity. And I think courage goes with that. Compassion. Courageous people put other people's needs ahead of their own. They know that the captain must go down with their ship, and being selfless helps gain the respect of others. Compassion, I think, can be part. And so that's some of what makes courage hard. Almost all of the good that we're asked to do, courage is that element that gives us the strength to do it when it's needed done. And so there's so many elements that have courage in them. It's kind of somewhat of a hard subject to teach in many ways, or it has been for me this morning. Action. Courageous people put their money where their mouth is. It's not enough to just talk about it. We need to act. Courage gives us strength in adversity, as we've said. Courage helps us to not be afraid to swim against the tide. There's many things on courage that we could consider. But somehow this morning I feel like I feel like you're understanding my heart, and there's not a lot to go through every little detail that I have here that I brought here this morning. But we have number seven here. We have a bold enemy, and I think I put that in just as a reminder. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant is alert and awake. It says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And it was interesting. Lions are constantly on the lookout, even when they're laying down and resting. They're laying there, and an easy meal goes before them. They're up to get it. It seems like they're constantly looking for prey. They're looking for their next meal, and that's the picture that the Bible gives us here of Satan. Satan is a bold enemy, and he is 24/7. He is looking to destroy us, and it's easy for us. We don't want to fear that, but it takes courage to stand against him. We don't want to fear Satan, but we should be aware of that. One of the lion's weapons is its roar. Sometimes it can almost render its prey powerless just with its roar. And the enemy tries to intimidate us as well. And it takes courage to stand up against that roar. The devil is ravenous and savage, a prowling adversary. He's not a sleeping lion, nor a crouching lion. He's a roaring lion, as the Bible says. And the Bible also tells us here in Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. If the devil wins, it means ruin to your soul. We don't give in to the devil without there not being ruin. So may God help us in that way. If the devil wins, it means ruin to our soul. It takes courage to walk in the Spirit. As John, I thought of these words here in John 16, verse 33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Yeah, what a blessing. Thank you, brothers, for those amens. Pray for courage when needed. I think it's okay to say, "God, I need courage. God, strengthen me." I think it's very, very fitting to do that. I had to think of this account, and I'm not sure what to make of it. But picture Moses up there on the mountain like this. I'm not sure how high he was, but he's sitting up here, and he's sitting up here on a stone, the Bible says, and he's holding up his hands like this. And it's almost like it's a picture of public prayer, like that. He's sitting up there, and he's interceding for Joshua and for us. And we have one that is seated on the right hand of Father, interceding for us. But that's a picture of public prayer. Holy hands lifted up, as 1 Timothy says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." And it's okay to lift up hands and say, "God, help me, strengthen me." It's okay to call brothers together and say, "Pray for me, I'm feeling weak. I need your prayers, help me." Pray for courage when it's needed. We know when we need it. And God, it comes from God. It's not something that we just muster up. "I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." As I shared earlier, we talked about individualism, and we could more. But may God bring us together and help us encourage and strengthen each other. Courage to be faithful. Joshua had a clear assignment from God. And that's some of my burden this week. If we're here and we know what God wants of us, then He will give us the courage to do it. But so many times, we as God's people live in a lot of confusion. We're just abiding, or we're idling our time. We're not sure why we're here or what we're to do. And hopefully God can continue to bring clarity in all of our lives together. God isn't fearful of His cause failing. May we take courage. God's not up in heaven scratching His head and pondering, "What should I do next? What should I do next?" He's completely in control. As Hebrews 13:21 says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We draw courage from God in His Word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now those words, I couldn't help but just read them again. But my heart is that we put our faith in the Word of God, and when we do that, He will give us the courage. It's kind of an interesting, trying to remember what lesson I had in mind. There's a little account I put in here. A general, upon hearing that his enemy was coming to give him battle with double the number that he himself possessed. He had double the men. This is what he said. He replied to his informant, "So much the better for us. We shall beat so many more at once." Those kind of, May that be our heart. Let come what may, so much the better for us, because we have a God that will give us the victory. We do. As Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Christian fortitude. Fortitude in bearing, fortitude in attempting or assailing. God's strength made perfect in human weakness. Here was a, we do need courage. There's also another account here. I'm not sure even who Cromwell was. I enjoy stories. So as I'm reading anything and there's a story, I try to collect it. So I have a lot, I enjoy short stories. Here's one on courage. And it is said of Cromwell that when he had gathered some raw troops, being much in doubt about their courage. Now, this is the lesson we want to take from this story. Y'all still with me? This is the lesson we want to take from God brings tests. He tries us. He tries us in many ways. And He gives us opportunity to see when we're lacking in courage. He does. Listen to this story. It is said of Cromwell that when he had gathered some raw troops, being much in doubt about their courage, he doubted them. Being much in doubt about their courage, he determined to put them to the test before employing them into active service. He therefore placed a number of soldiers in ambush in a woods. Then he brought this group of soldiers that he doubted. He led them through the woods. He led this new regiment. And when these rushed out of the ambush suddenly upon the new soldiers, many among them turned and fled. And all of those that fled, he sent home. And the ones that didn't flee, he took them and started training them. And they became what was known as in history as the Ironsides. They accomplished a lot in battles. So it's interesting. Can you see God? God does that. God gives us opportunities. He asks this of us, and we don't do it. And He gives us opportunity to see our heart. He tries us, and that's a blessing. As 1 Corinthians says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. And I think it wouldn't be complete if we wouldn't take time to look at the lack of courage, even in the children of Israel. The lack of courage that the 10 spies had, it affected a lot of people, as we said. And in 1 Corinthians 10, if you have your Bibles, let's just turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read from 9 to 12. It's speaking of this. These words are kind of the results of a lack of courage in my mind, as I put it here in my notes. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I also would like to just read Joshua 4 here. Let's just read Joshua 4, verse 1 through 11. And I'll just try to read through this and we'll make a few comments. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So we have a man taking, they took stones on the other side of Jordan, and they put stones where the priests' feet stood. For the priests which bear the ark in the midst of the Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. Now, it was interesting for me to think of what these 12 stones, the story that these 12 stones spoke to God's people. I had to think what happened if, we don't know, but maybe someone lost faith, maybe someone lost courage, and on their way back, after wanting to leave, they saw these 12 stones. It seemed like these 12 stones had a story. They stood there as a memorial. They spoke of the courage of God's people to press on and to not turn back and to not give up and to not move away. As Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, And Jesus said unto them, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, and going down, it says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them as according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. No turning back. And I think these 12 stones stood there to testify of God's faithfulness. And I think they would have really spoke to whoever would have turned back in that way. And may God do that in our hearts. Yeah, I think I've shared a lot of my heart here. And courage has been a kind of a hard subject to teach in a lot of ways for me. So thank you for your patience. And hopefully you can find encouragement through it. But at the ending here, my prayer and my hope is that God will give you the courage to stand, to not turn back, the courage to stand for Him. So, God's blessings to you. We definitely appreciate you all.